Come now, all you mangy dogs. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Well, shiver me timbers. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Live streaming today from under heavily overcast South Korean skies, you're listening to episode 53 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host and ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Hailing from out of Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada, today's guest is one of the Robin Hood's latest colorful crew members, Valkyrie of Freedom. Having only met around a month or so ago, her intelligence, wit, artistic ability, youthful vigor, technical skills, and bubbling enthusiasm together all managed to quickly catch my headhunting ear. A feisty and spirited young northern lass. Thankfully, my proposal to have her join us as a guest today was easily met by the captain's approval. While she hopes to gain recognition as the ship's bloody bonesaw surgeon, given her natural inclinations and abilities, we may eventually prefer to entice her into considering the position of alchemist, potion maker, or apothecary for our merry little band of digital seafaring adventurers. If I didn't know any better, I'd say that there was somebody trying to seriously mess with us here today as we're working on this week's episode of Pirate Radio Podcasts with Valkyrie of Freedom, the newest addition to the crew here on the Robin Hood. Multiple technical issues getting the OBS off and running. So hopefully we've managed to overcome all these issues and finally get everything straightened and squared away. I see Valkyrie's image there, yeah, on YouTube. So that's a start, and it does look like we're streaming through our slideshow. Valkyrie, do we have you on Skype?
I'm here.
Hey, that's great. So, what an ordeal, huh? What do you think the problem was there? Something to do with the streaming key? Or why did OBS Classic suddenly just crash?
I think it was an invalid stream key or possibly too much CPU usage.
Jeez.
I'm a Twitch streamer and I have to deal with this anytime I'm about to go on to stream, and it can be any amount of issues. Programs running in the background. A key off, even your bitrate set too high, it could be absolutely anything that would cause the exact same problem. Or there's also DDoSing, where people will purposely disconnect your IP address so you can't get access online or to certain applications. It's usually done to other gamers. Like if you're in a match, you'll invite them to a Skype call, you'll get their IP address, and you'll completely shut everything down.
Sore losers, I guess is what it sounds like, really.
Yeah.
Gotta win at any cost. I'm winning! You know, I've got about, I don't know, I think it's something like at least 50 or 60 gigs of space being taken up on my C drive that I just can't account for. So I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the whole business or not, but it's just another one of those issues. Got you here though today, and the slideshow does appear to be streaming. I have a few people, of course, that have come on board already and are part of the listening and viewing audience. So I was wondering, do you want to take things onto the Robin Hood today here from out of Skullport Harbor? This is where we usually meet, of course, too, on the docks. Or Would you rather that we make our way to one of the local drinking establishments, watering holes, and houses of ill repute?
I personally prefer the water.
Sailing the high digital seas or the watering hole?
I would say the high digital seas.
Well, if that's the case, what we're going to need right off the top, we can do that. We can make our way over. What we're going to need, though, is a pirate story from you. Although you have been a part of the show for on a couple of occasions now, done proven yourself to be quite capable. I think you do have a pirate story ready for us, though, nonetheless. Is that not the case?
Well, every year in the Okanagan, we do BC Pirate Days. We get my dad's sailboat all dressed up, sails hoisted, park near the beach. And every year, right on cue, these kids come and they steal all of our booty. They take everything away from us and we come packed with super soakers. We come back with 21st century pirate weapons, which is this hose attached to the lake, attached to a pressure gauge. And no matter what we do, they take everything from us. We start with 3 chests full of booty from all of our work all year long, and they take it all away. I don't know how they do it. They're even young as 6.
Yeah, kids can get pretty excited when it comes to dressing up and playing the role of a pirate. And this is part of the Okanagan's Pirate Days? Is it it's an annual event from the sounds of it? What sort of things are out on display? We have floats and games, I'd imagine.
The informal name is Pirate Days, but the official name is Boats for Hope, and it's created by the Boys and Girls Club in the Okanagan. And it's for kids in foster care with disabilities. Basically, they weren't born with the best luck in the world, and we put in all the effort to give them the best day possible, and every year they completely ransack our ship. But they have fun, so we'll just regather our booty and try again next year.
And what kind of loot or plunder is it that we're talking about here exactly?
Well, I always make the suggestion to actually have gold and valuables, but for some reason, it's either Club Penguin memberships. I don't even know where my dad ransacks them from, but he gets them. And even the Disney trip passes sometimes. I've still yet to figure out how he has collected them, but it's kind of impressive. Just chest full and full and full of memberships, gift cards, trips, everything. Like it's a child's dream.
I guess so. Yeah, it really sounds like it. We also had Pirate Larry here with us a little earlier. It sounded like he was.
Boy, mate.
Oh God, he's there. Are you still partying hard there with your Mexican amigos, or have they moved?
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day is Green Beer Day here in Mexico, and they love the Irish because the Irish artillery brigade fought on the side of the Mexican army in the Mexican-American War. So there's a strong friendship between Mexico and the Irish.
Even to this day, is it?
Yeah, even to this day.
That's amazing. That's quite something. So how about that? I don't think it's not really something most North Americans even know about, frankly. Although, I guess the closer you probably get to the Mexican-American border, that might tend to change, too. But, you know.
I learned about it in Mexico.
Ah.
It was never in U.S. history. Apparently, the Irish had a pretty good artillery brigade, and they were very effective. So they also taught the Mexicans how to use their artillery better, and were much loved by all. But they didn't win because it's hard to ship stuff from Spain.
Logistics, yes, indeed. That's always a problem and something that needs to be addressed and overcome or optimized, what have you. So you and Valkyrie have actually had a chance to, I guess, meet online and do a little bit of talking and conversation, I guess, exchange of ideas and whatnot. How has that gone to this point, Larry?
I think Valkyrie's great. She, you know, is a technical wizard, and that puts my mind at ease. And She's a multitasker. She can do a million things at once. But she's also got a great sense of humor and, you know, kind of self-deprecating, but, there's a light on in there, and, people should, you know, watch out. It shines.
And only 20 years old, if you can believe that, all of 20 years. I look back on my life and try to think of where I was at that particular time, intellectually, you know, spiritually, and, you know, you name it. And, yeah, just so many of the young people these days coming up, just really quite amazing. So it's great to have her on board and interested in being a part of the crew here. We do need, of course, still within the network, WPRPN, a multitude of personnel and people that are able to contribute and help out in various capacities, including technical, web design, and, you know, from the standpoint of creativity and art, you know, promotion and sales and whatnot when it comes to the network merchandise. I think Valkyrie, one of the things she's talked about is helping out maybe a little bit with putting together the artistic end of things as far as our the catalog is concerned, with art design and pirate logos and that sort of thing. Am I right to say that, Valkyrie, or am I somehow, I mean, maybe a little off base?
No, you're completely correct. It's what my degree is for. I'm in for 3D animation, video editing, graphic design, 2D animation, life drawing. Like, I can do a multitude of different variations of art, and being able to help this network would be amazing.
That's great. You've seen the FAQ page as well, too, I'd imagine. What is it about WPRPN, the Pirate Radio podcasts, and the Robin Hood and its guiding philosophy that you find most interesting or appealing?
Probably for the biggest reason would be the freedom in it, being able to give time when I'm available instead of having a whole amass of set deadlines, set figures, set positions and whatnot, because while I'm in my degree, what my degree entails is everything is contract based, and once that contract's up, you're cut. You're not even kept as an option. But that's not what I see with
WPRPN.
I see it growing as more of a community rather than just contract based, where you're good for one job and then you're dropped. You can fill in a multitude of roles. You can do a multitude of jobs depending on your strengths, and your weaknesses can be picked up by someone else. And it's a very balanced and honestly kind of peaceful mentality compared to most networks or a lot of the companies I've been able to meet through my schooling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very ad hoc. And we're running primarily on a voluntarist basis, so you can do as little or as much as you like. Whoever it is, it's totally up to them. However, whatever it is that where they're comfortable as far as the workload and what area they are drawn or attracted to, the coercive approach just does not seem to, that doesn't seem to be the way to get things done, obviously. That being said, people, like with anything, will be rewarded in accordance with the amount of effort and investment they put into things. So, you know, Karl Marx had this great little axiom: from each according to their ability, to each according to their needs. We've kind of tweaked that a little bit so that basically it's more a case of from each according to their ability, to each according to their contribution, or from each according to their abilities, to each according to their effort. So that really is kind of what lies at the heart here of our operation for the time being. And hopefully, one would imagine, until the, you know, into the foreseeable future as well. So, Kelowna, we have, you call it, I guess it's Pirate Days once again. And that runs every summer for, I'm not sure if you've already... we're clear on this or not, but is it the Okanagan Valley? Is that what people call it? Okanagan Valley, or just the Okanagan region?
That really varies from person. If you've lived there a long time, it's the Okanagan Valley. If you're into the political sphere, it's the Okanagan region. If you're a newcomer, it's just Kelowna, even though Kelowna doesn't cover a majority of the locations, since Kelowna breaks down into subregions like Rutland, West Kelowna, The Mission, Queensway, which Queensway is only a street, but it's categorized as its own set location, surprisingly.
Penticton, too. How big exactly is the Okanagan region? It's quite a significant chunk there in the south-central part of the province. Is that not the case? Soyuz? How far does it stretch down exactly?
I believe the Okanagan stretches up to, I think, either at Vernon or just a little bit before Vernon, down to...
Would Fernie be outside the Okanagan or more like on the border or fringe of those geographical boundaries?
Fernie's getting closer to the west coast or in like the midland towards the west coast. It's kind of its own spot.
It's kind of nestled in close to the Rockies, is it not?
Yeah, you're right. I totally got my geography wrong. It's near the Kootenays. My apologies.
Okay.
I've only been living in the Okanagan 3 years. I grew up in the Kootenays, so.
That's right. And is it Highway 3? Is it the Crow's Nest Pass Highway? Or I'm not sure what they call it exactly. This is going back a ways. I spent some time growing up and traveling around BC back in the mid to late 90s, mostly, I suppose. Out on the road, a bit of a busker, sort of wandering troubadour thing. That was a lot of fun. Met a lot of great people and had a lot of great experiences, but Crow's Nest Pass Highway 3? On the map there, they got the Crow logo that they like to put out there for people to see.
Yep, Crow's Nest is on Highway 3. It's that's more of the Kootenays location than the Okanagan, for sure.
Okay. Well, having to reset the computer here, I actually... shut everything down, of course, trying to get our technical show, straightened out and up and properly running. In doing that, I managed to also close down this important file that we've got here, the notes for your the show that we're doing here for the discussion/interview, but that's fine. I'll get a hold of it here in a second. So just a few of the things before we get too far into today's presentation. We want to send a big shout out to Kelly Freeman, who actually has the great distinction and honor of becoming our first Patreon supporter. So $5 an episode is what he has actually pledged. So big thumbs up and a super pirate salute to Kelly. That's going to, of course, entitle him as well to any of the after show premium content that we record through the Rogues Gallery end of things. And who knows what other little goodies that managed to come along the way that we'll be passing on to him. So Kelly, of course, regular listeners will recall we first met via the John Ford UFO Political Prisoner Roundtable that we did a number of months ago. John, I guess, is still being declared in the eyes of the state to be a risk to public safety, is what it seems like. Whether it's a threat to himself on top of that or not, I have no idea. Doesn't really seem like it to too many people that have actually looked into his case. Rather more a situation of where regional politics has really gotten into the way and have kept this man in a virtual cage now for the past 20-some odd years. So people got to remember to keep shining a light on the John Ford UFO political prisoner case so that we can continue to do our best to work on freeing this good man, really. It's a pretty sad and tragic story. So we'll add a link there to the show notes for people to be more able to easily check out after we've wrapped things up here today with Valkyrie. Speaking of archives and whatnot, you did manage to make your way through some of the show archives that we did. Of course, this is episode number 53. Anything that stands out for you at all or jumps out, Valkyrie?
Can you repeat the question? My audio was giving me some problems. So I was trying to fix. I apologize.
No problem. Yeah, no, I was just wondering. You said you went through our archives, or managed to listen to a few of the shows that we've done prior to today's discussion. Is there anything that stands out in your memory, or do you have a favorite episode or anything like that?
I'm honestly horrible for picking a favorite. I was listening more to absorb the feel for the episodes, kind of collect information. My memory is like a Trivial Pursuit brain. I just like to listen and gather information. I don't tend to pick favorites. I just like to amass information. I apologize if that's not the answer that you were looking for. I just like to constantly learn and absorb as much information as possible. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. Sit and read or read articles all day. It's kind of what I found interesting about the network is there is just so much to absorb with every episode I watched. I wish I actually sat down and listened more.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It wasn't like, we're never really looking for any one particular answer. People are free to speak their minds and just express themselves however they want. That's the whole point of the show that we run here every week. So not a problem at all. You know, we're not trying to impose any one particular worldview or set of ideas on anyone. It's just, once again, to be clear, we want to hear where other people are coming from, how they see the world, various current events, pop culture, lifestyle-related issues, health. It's really the gamut. So all we're looking for are, you know, we just work to put together stories that are interesting, intriguing, captivating, and so on and so forth. So, well, speaking of which, you've got a, there is a story you were telling me, speaking of captivating, although this more, I think, really kind of borders on the grotesque and disturbing. There was a story that you shared with me not so long ago dealing with the dark and deep web. We'll maybe save that for a little later. Might want to buckle up there, folks. We've got some pretty, just a heavy story from the deep web that Valkyrie might be sharing with us a little later on down the road here. Let's not forget, before we carry on too much further, shout out to Joe Zapardo and his girlfriend Carla. They're regular listeners as well. Pirate Joe and his the fair wench that he keeps by his side, has had at his side, it sounds like, for quite a few years now. So I'm not sure if he's listening. I haven't he typically does. Yeah, he's in the house, right on, as is Joe 333. That's great. Hydro Dank, of course, too, which I think I know who that is. Maybe Valkyrie, would you like to clarify who this Hydro Dank character is? I think you might have some familiarity with him, some knowledge of the guy.
I think I might remember him, maybe. He could be my boyfriend.
Oh, you mean he could be like you, you would like him to be your boyfriend? Or what exactly? Or maybe he is your boyfriend.
He is. We've been together a year since February 27th. We met through my Twitch stream. I was playing old retro games. I think the video game he met me on was Ocarina of Time, which is a story-based RPG, one of the classics for video games. And
Zelda, isn't it?
Zelda, yeah. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina
yeah,
of Time.
Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I was playing it on an emulator on my computer, and after that we started talking, we started playing games together, and before you knew it, we were together.
Yeah, that's a great game. A lot of fun. Got a chance to play that with some people I was living with back in Edmonton, just before I left to make my way over to South Korea back in 2002. Yeah, what a hoot that was, I tell you. What a great game. It would be fun to try to get something rigged up again, so I was able to give it another try. But I think, as I was telling you recently, I've actually got so much on the go here, and my hands are so full that it's really hard to find any extra, you know, free time for gaming. So let's focus, or let's talk a little bit rather about your history in gaming. I know you've said that you'd like to maybe become a professional gamer one day. How far back does your passion for video games go?
I think the first time I picked up a video game controller was I was 4 years old, and I was living with my great-grandmother a lot. So this will be interesting from the normal starting point for most gamers. My great-grandmother taught me how to play video games, and she would let me play the original Mortal Kombat, one of the few copies before they took out the Red Blood and replaced it with Blue Blood. Because we got a, what is it, Won't Somebody Think of the Children? She let me play that. We played Super Mario World, Mario Kart. She always gave me the broken controller because that woman never played fair. From there, we got a PlayStation 2, and my favorite game was Final Fantasy X. Her favorite was Jack 2, I believe, because she was developing cataracts in one eye, and the game's resolution and the tone of the game was very dark, so she could look at it, and she would play for hours. And how the system works is if you're in the city and you commit a crime by either punching enough people or hitting a guard, the guards will chase after you. And she would spend up to 6 hours and the guards chase her just for shits and giggles because nobody could kill her. This 78-year-old woman was a monster at video games, and that really intrigued me. After that, around the age of 7, I got into World of Warcraft, and I still haven't given up that full addiction. I'm still playing World of Warcraft to this day.
Have you seen the South Park episode?
I have seen it, and it's a pretty decent representation of how fast you can get sucked into that game. Where I actually have a friend back in Trail who had the basement suite of his parents' house renovated so that there's a bathroom, a toaster oven, his computer, and his bed, so he could literally stay down there all day and never have to see the light of day and just play World of Warcraft. And I still think he's doing that. I don't know if he's ever going to leave the house, honestly.
Yeah, gaming is great. I'm a tabletop kind of guy, too. Once again, when I get the chance, it's just that the opportunity really hasn't presented itself. I could do more as far as the online end of things is concerned, so we'll see if I can maybe manage to muster and set aside a little bit of time for a regular campaign as far as something like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons is concerned. That's always a hoot. But, yeah, have you played much D&D?
I have played a bit of D&D. I'm not perfectly enamored in it. I really enjoyed the game, but the people I played it with really shoved me away and I dropped it, but I definitely want to get back into it because it was a lot of fun. I like being able to make my own character. The dice are never on my side, ever. So anytime something wrong was going on, I always got the shit end of the stick, but that's okay. It was still a lot of fun. I'm usually into MMORPGs, so massive multiplayers.
Mm-hmm.
Recent one I've been playing is Terra, which is actually from Korea.
T-E-R-R-A?
T-E-R-A.
Oh, I see. How about that? Is it like a StarCraft type sort of deal?
No, it's a live action fighting scenario MMO, which means that when you're fighting an enemy, you can actually move your character to avoid the attack. It's not an automatic hit. You can actually jump back, move to the side. Which is really hard once you start doing raids with friends, because if you miss even slightly, your whole team can be wiped in one go.
Isn't there something where now the gaming world, the online gaming world, have incorporated various forms of virtual digital currency into their efforts? That you can actually trade or buy, purchase products and characters, maybe weapons and all kinds of, even to the point where you're cashing your digital credits in for real money, I guess, or at least what people generally refer to as real money, the government-issued fiat, you know, paper currency. But do you know much about this?
What you're talking about is pay-to-win video games where you have to pay with real money for certain outfits, certain mounts, certain equipment to become better than the rest and succeed. It's really a money grab, but another version is World of Warcraft implemented a system where you can pay with real money for this coin and it gives you 30 days of in-game World of Warcraft time, but you can also sell it on the marketplace for exuberant amounts of gold. Sorry, my computer's trying to shut itself down.
Oh, well, how about that? Is this something that you find to be a common occurrence?
Not at all. This is the first time ever.
Well, how about that?
Trying to make a claim that it has to do an update, but I finished all my updates yesterday, and I did a scan just now, and it says that there's no updates.
Gotta love those updates. Yeah, constantly wanting to reboot your computer in the middle of, you know, all kinds of important business. So.
Oh no, what I'm saying is I scanned it and there's no updates, but it's telling me I need to update.
even though you did it yesterday.
Yeah, and I just did a scan and there's no updates, so I might need to restart my computer.
Geez, well, I hope not. Not sure what that's gonna where that's going to leave us. We can keep the OBS running here, of course, so maybe we'll be able to handle that. Is it really urgent that you think you have no real choice or option right now, or you just want to hang on until you have no other way of doing things?
It's giving me a countdown right before my eyes.
You can't reset it, can't cancel it. Oh, jeez. Well, what are we looking at there, time-wise?
We're looking at 2 minutes.
My God. Well, you know what? I think, and that's maybe after you do that, we can get more into the some of the political end of things as far as current events and freedom of speech are concerned. Enough of this gaming talk, although that is a lot of great fun, of course. Yeah, because you do have a few opinions as far as some of these issues are concerned, and we want to hear more about what it is that you've got to say, because you've really got a lot of insight into what's going on in today's world, as well as your local region, of course, and the nation of Canada to boot. So, yeah, we'll just kind of maybe just chill out here for the next little while. Are you still there, Valkyrie?
I am.
Is there a postpone button on it?
No, there isn't. No, I have my update set to never check for updates, so it shouldn't do this, and something is forcing it to happen.
You're not running Windows 10, are you?
I'm running Windows 8.1.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll roll with the punches here, of course. There's not really too much else a person can do. Do you want to just shut it down right now and come back, or are you going to wait to see what sort of digital hijacking actually takes place here, how they compel you to submit?
Yeah, I'm looking at about 15 seconds right now. Let's see if one of those things from Mass Effect, one of the needles shoots out and hits my forehead and converts me into a left-leaning liberal.
We will play it by ear here. We definitely were hoping that you'll be able to make it back. Just a quick reset of the computer and carry on from there. So no big deal. Pirate Larry, I guess we've got you on the other end, of course, so that's a bonus. Otherwise, it would just leave me here talking to myself for the next who knows how long. And I don't mind engaging with other people as far as conversation is concerned, but talking to myself, not really so much fun. So what are your thoughts, Larry, just on anything? Valkyrie, I guess, is kind of the she's in the spotlight here in the hot seat, being showcased today. Any more thoughts or items that you'd like to contribute
she's great. I mean, she's one of the people that has ventured into, you know, the deep web, kind of understands, you know, the turf there. I never go there myself, but I have a lot of friends who hang out on the deep web, and there's a lot going on there that people should be aware of. Of course, the Silk Road, I mean, that was part of the deep web. You remember that whole story.
Sure do.
They were selling drugs on the internet, and, you know, finally they busted them. So there's some dangerous, scurrilous activity going on in parts of the deep web. I even heard you could hire a hitman on the deep web. That would be like going to Craigslist and trying to hire a hitman. You know what I'm saying, Jaffe? It would be like putting a want ad in Craigslist. Who would show up at your door? You know, probably the FBI, a local sheriff, somebody like that.
Does happen from time to time, doesn't it? You hear about these bizarre stories where these morons try to do that sort of thing. So, speaking of hitmen and whatnot, and how much it actually costs, the price of a human life these days, Kim Jong-nam, I think he was a younger brother. Anyways, he was a brother of Kim Jong-un.
He was the Disneyland brother. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he seemed like just a normal kind of dude, you know, no different than most South Koreans, in fact, you know. And I felt quite bad when this nonsense took place. And I think these Manchurian candidates, because they did seem like one of the stories that they gave was like, well, we were under the impression, or at least I was under the impression, I'm not sure, I think there was two of them, but the one lady in particular said she thought it was just a prank reality show. If you've ever seen Darren Brown, the British mentalist, he clearly lays out and shows a lot of people can be taken in and hypnotized to the point where they don't even know what they're doing, and they will either shoot somebody or, stab them, attack them, or in this case, just simply, I think what it was, She wiped or gave, handed him some deadly substance, and it wasn't too much longer after that that he dropped dead. Did we just hear Valkyrie there? Was she back on?
I'm back. A lot worse than I thought.
Do you want to give us the details, or do you want to save that for later in the after show? The world is listening.
Looks to be like all of a sudden four Trojans popped up onto my computer in a proxy virus.
Oh, nice.
Yay.
Jeez, how about that? What do they say? It's always the flak is always the heaviest when you're directly over the target?
It came from Vault 7. Zero-day exploits. You know, the world owns zero-day. Yay.
Care to elaborate, Larry? I'm not really too up to speed on anything that you've... other than just the Vault 7 release via WikiLeaks. And, you know, it's only 1%, apparently, of the information and data that has been put out so far. Yeah. The CIA fucking A, they're like, they're basically positioned as, we got to get these. Whoever leaked this information, we got to get them. This is bad for America. This is bad for you people. But they don't stop to, of course, you know, these fucking psychopaths. Like, give me a break. I mean, really, who's buying this crap? That, you know, with the behavior and things that they've got up to over the years, constantly managing to evade and elude accountability, and that's okay in their eyes? With the blood they've got on their hands, corruption, the, you know, there's checks and balances.
All the dictators we've propped up and overthrown. Yeah. The interesting thing to me was they were spoofing computer IP addresses to make it look like the attack was coming from Russia.
Right.
And then they'd grab some Russian malware, you know, and get you mad at the Russians.
Give me a break.
Chinese that are hacking everything. Put up a website and see what you get. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Hordes of Chinese hackers. I rarely see any Russian hackers, but... Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you get on a show, you start about the dark web, and all of a sudden you get, like, a forced, you know, a bunch of probes coming on your machine.
Was that Valkyrie right after we mentioned the deep and dark web? Deep or dark web, and maybe you can clarify and lay out for us what the distinction is there, how that the differences are made. But was that just shortly after we kind of just briefly hit on that topic that you suddenly got these notifications?
Yeah, she got these notifications and said, you're shutting down in like 12 seconds or whatever.
Shit.
And then, boom, you know, you get rooted.
Yeah. Well, like I said, so, go ahead.
You know, at that point, what I would do is I would go back to an earlier version of whatever she's got, Windows 8, and reverse that. But, you know, since she's not revealing any state secrets, I don't think, on the show, it probably would be okay to complete the interview. But, you know, I've seen some crazy shit. They knocked Lori Love off of Twitter. Did I tell you that?
Was that a recent development, or does that go back a ways now?
This is like last week. They knocked his account off of Twitter.
They've been targeting a lot of people that whose opinions and just very existence seem to threaten them for some reason. Mostly, I suppose, because they're truth tellers and because what they have to put out there is, it really kind of cuts to the core. And I guess, yeah, some people end up feeling quite butthurt over it all. What can you do?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is coming out. This is the internet. This is the network.
Age of Apocalypse. Valkyrie, I'm guessing you're still on board here with us. You standing by?
I'm here and ready.
I was actually in the introduction. You couldn't hear it, I don't think. The lead up to things with the Skype and so forth, the way that we've got things set up. But I was going to refer to you as a something along the lines of a young, spirited wench. And then I looked up the definition of wench, and the synonym for that, the main one, was like a prostitute, basically. So I didn't know that, actually. Although I do know it's quite common pirate vernacular, jargon, or what have you. Very, you know, very standard kind of pirate term. Very, you know, stereotypical. So basically, I used in the introduction, went with the word lass. Fair young lassie. Valkyrie from Kelowna. So, and what the description here is, a girl or young woman who is unmarried. A jeune, which is young for French. Jeune fille. Bobby soccer. Young girl, young woman. Bobby Soxer, fille, missy, lassie, girl, miss, young lady, and lastly, and perhaps most interestingly of all, Lolita. So I hope that, I hope you're not playing that kind of game with us here on the Robin Hood. That would not be, reputation as a young siren and temptress, siren of the seas. In fact, speaking of which, we do have a song cued for you here, ready to go at the end of the show. And I'm not going to say much more than that, but you'll have to listen to the playback and hopefully you enjoy it. It's the best thing we can come up with in the moment. I was going to ask you if you had any favorite songs that you would like us to play, although there is a problem a lot of times with copyright. So we try to look around for tunes that we can use and not get into too much trouble as far as that goes. But so which would you prefer, Wench or Lass?
I would definitely prefer Lass, because wenches were, they were pretend barkeeps or bar mistresses, and then you could pay a certain amount on supposed grog for certain services. So I might have to drop out from that title.
Whoa, run that by me again. Have you researched the history on this one?
Wenches would normally work at taverns, selling mead, grog, rum, whatever the drink was, but you could pay for a special drink or a special service, whatever the code word was, for certain services. Kind of like a masseuse parlor, where you pay for a certain package for like a happy ending.
Well, that's something. Probably. Who knows if that sort of thing actually occurs even today, where a lot of the women, or some women at least, working in the restaurant and, what would you say, alcohol services? I'm not sure if that's really the way things are phrased, the politically correct way of referencing things or not. But who knows? I'd imagine, sure, of course, there's bound to be a little of that stuff going on the side and on the sly.
I know that there's a masseuse parlor in Vancouver that's actually a brothel.
Oh, I'm sure there's a few. No, I'm talking about like working out of bars and pubs, women that, you know, it's hard economic times, looking for a bit more, a little bigger tip, and both, you know, monetarily and maybe, you know, physically. There's all kinds of tips that you can offer your server, you know, so yeah. That's quite something. So that's great. That's the sort of thing we like to see constantly being presented here on the show, is any kind of reference or callback or a little bit of pirate trivia that people can share with us, by all means. That's just great. And another thing, too, when we do have women or young ladies, I'm not sure, I think you might more or less the first. Although, no, hang on. We had Larry's daughter, Lauren, join us a few months ago. And that was great. Really enjoyed myself. Hopefully she did as well. You can find that back in the archives, too, Lauren O'Donnell. And she was a little older than you, but, a great, great show, great interview, very spirited, and, something of a world traveler to a certain degree, and a bit of a Dharma bum. I'm not sure if you know, probably not too familiar with that reference. You can type that, you can do a search for that online if you're interested I would recommend DuckDuckGo. Google's probably not, I generally try to stay away from Google as much as I can, but if you can bring anything you can bring to the show as far as pirate lore or history or whatnot, that's great. A lot of the women, though, is what I was going to say. There's been numerous famous female pirates. In fact, we're going to have a show here, hopefully in the not too distant future. We've got a guy that we've met through Mines who runs his own podcast. We're not going to do any name dropping at this particular moment, although he lives out of New Jersey, and the quality product that he puts out there is really quite impressive. So looking forward to connecting more so than what we've done to this stage, at least, and managing to get a quality show together. Larry, speaking of shows and whatnot, let's not forget Valkyrie. Something you might want to keep in mind and maybe bring up or address later, just after I take care of this one point with Larry, is how with these famous female pirates through history, that it's something definitely worth talking about. But Larry, one of the things Valkyrie and I have been discussing is maybe producing another show midweek, either whether a news segment such as what we were doing, you and I, with the midweek muck around, or even booking a second guest. We've got a lot of people that would like to be part of things here. The problem is there's only 52 weeks in a year, and as it is, we're pretty booked up right now until, oh gosh, June at least. Like, pretty solid. The calendar is really filling up fast. So that's something you might want to keep in mind as far as an option. Although what we were thinking of doing, Larry, was maybe having you just kind of maintain help to hold down the Saturday slot. And then we could, if we have another guest, typically go with Valkyrie on, say, like something like, well, it'd be a Thursday here, a Wednesday back in the West, Wednesday night. Or if it's news, yeah, we could do it either way. Just kind of play it by ear and just really kind of open approach to things, kind of, whatever seems to make the most sense. What do you think? The post-production is the key here because she's basically, we've got to get someone else to do post-production other than myself. I'm swamped and way in over my head as far as that and many other things are concerned.
I think, you know, the Friday show, we have guests on, and we kind of follow the path of the guests. And so, you know, we're learning about, you know, different cultures, lifestyles, different theories, you know, paths that people take. And, you know, so that's kind of one program. The other kind of program that I like, too, is like just pirate news or, you know, what's happening out there in the world, you know, that has to do with the general topic of pirates. There's everything. There's everything from the Somali pirates to
digital piracy and hacking.
Digital piracy, yeah. Right.
And
then you've also got, you know, up and down the coast of Florida and different places, you've got a bunch of people who kind of cosplay pirates, but they raise money for good causes and they give back to the community, which is kind of in the spirit of what the show is doing. So I think all that kind of news in a separate show would be great. I think it would be just fantastic. And if you want me to jump in and out, I'd be glad to.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree with pretty much everything you've laid out there. Not a problem. And very much concur and in accordance with all of those key main points, which reminds me, one of the things that we would like to continue to further do so people can maybe work on getting the word out is just more networking with these pirate parties, political pirate parties that we see emerging all around the world in various forms. Not too sure about what we see in Norway at the present. I had a friend who had joined and signed up, I guess, with them for about 2 days and then decided that, he'd had enough of their political correctness. To me, I just couldn't help but laugh, of course, because, I mean, when's the last time, a politically correct pirate? I mean, come on. That is so antithetical. You couldn't get any more. It's like, this is totally the opposite of what a pirate's supposed to be.
Look, you know, it's like free all the info. That's pirate.
That's part of it. Yeah, sure.
You know, stop lying to people. Tell people what's really going on. Free the information.
Mm-hmm.
That's pirate.
Sure.
And end the surveillance state. That's also pirate. Give people the freedom to be able to communicate with one another, one-on-one, peer-to-peer, without, you know, having
Big Brother constantly looking over your shoulder.
Yeah. You know, what does Big Brother want with me?
Well, you might you could be possibly doing, you know, and breaking the law, it's like doing this and doing that. It's like, could be a terrorist plot. You know, we got to keep an eye on you just because it might be.
No. That's stupid. I mean, big data is too big to crunch. So they're saving it just in case, you know, they find you later. And that's also crazy. This is a total invasion of privacy. It's a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, if we have a Constitution anymore. It's a violation of basic human rights. here we, you know, we're going around preaching to countries to, you know, be nice to dissidents and, you know, allow people freedom of speech. And yet we don't allow it in the United States. And political correctness is a form of curtailing freedom of speech. You know, people can say whatever they want to say, and I don't have to get, you know, all bent out of shape over somebody else's twisted view of reality. If I allow them to say what they want to say, then, of course, I can say what I want to say. They'll either see my twisted view of reality or my untwisted view of reality, but it's not up to the government to judge what can be said and what can't be said. It's just crazy. It's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm. With Valkyrie here today, too, of course, we've got about half an hour or so. So I think let's just kind of, and great points there, Larry, of course. You know, once again, it's all pretty much straightforward and major, just real no-brainers, unless you're an aspiring tyrant, I suppose. You know, someone like maybe this guy that Valkyrie came across on the deep, dark web. I'm not sure. Do you want to share that story with us now, Valkyrie? Because, I mean, clearly this is, and we'll get more into the political, kind of hardcore political end of things just as we kind of wind things down, I suppose. Maybe spend 15 or even 20 minutes in that area. But maybe why don't we lay that out there for people, the story that you shared with me. Folks, you might want to, it's pretty nasty. It's about as raunchy as you can get. But why don't you lay that on our listeners?
I think I was around 16. I purchased a really cheap, shitty laptop to go on the deep web. My friend gave me the programs you have to download, Tor, a few IP skewing applications. Basically, my friend set it all up for me, and my whole mission was to go and find what was called the Silk Road so I could. A small and minor thing was I was looking to buy pot. I heard that you could get it for super cheap. I found what I wanted. I would say personally that is probably my biggest flaw, is I'm painfully curious. So I started to go deeper and deeper into the dark web. And to clarify, the deep web is off-site, non-official search engines, unlike Firefox, Google Chrome, government official or public official search engines. That's not classified as the deep web. But if you go onto the dark web, you have to use certain programs, and it's basically this trail of links and different sites that you can find, and it's really hard to get back to the link you had unless you had special access or a friend to take you along or something along that sort. So I'm looking through the links, and you can find anything from BDSM live shows, pedophile blogs or vlogs that were deranged. But then the last one I saw where I was just like, I'm so done with the deep web was, you could pay bitcoins, like a certain amount, depending on what you wanted for, living dolls. And when I thought living dolls, I thought it was like those Japanese sex dolls, like those hyper-realistic ones. So like, I gotta watch the production of this. This will be funny. It was not funny whatsoever. It was supposedly real people, and why I say supposedly is because I didn't stick around too long to watch the process, but it was supposedly real people or real girls being mutilated and transformed into actual living dolls. Eyes replaced with glass, lips sewn shut, skin bleached white, like all this crazy stuff, and I stayed for about 5 minutes for the introduction and how the process was going to go. Saw the girl brought forward, and I was like, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Was this the same woman that had been stuffed inside a barrel?
No, that was the other link. That was...
And how do you end up in these places anyways? Like, you know, why do you click on these links? Your curiosity is what, I think is what you were saying earlier.
The search engines that I was using and the setup that I was going on was blank links. So what you clicked on, you didn't know unless you were told before what you were looking for.
It's kind of like chat roulette. Anything goes.
It was like dark web Russian roulette. You didn't know what you were going to get. There's the one that you mentioned where I went on, and there's a guy sitting in a wife beater at a quote-unquote table. It was really just him on a chair with a barrel in front of him with a tablecloth. And he pulled everything to the side, opened up the barrel, and he pulled out this sopping wet girl like to the point where her skin was inflated from all the water. And he went to grab the knife and the fork, and I left the chat. Everyone was cheering for more, and I couldn't believe what I was watching, because I downloaded the program for the most asinine, minimalistic bullshit that any teenager would go for, which was to get pot for super cheap. And then I had to learn more, and I had to see more. And the dark web has, like, some really cool things that aren't accepted on, like, normal browser platforms, like the BDSM stuff. Like, that was consensual, it was fine, I didn't care for it, didn't really want to watch it, I left. The pedophile vlog, like, he wasn't touching anyone, he wasn't saying that he touched anyone, didn't do anything, it was just explaining who he was as a person, that I found that interesting. It was just things that you couldn't say publicly, and then as you go further and you look further, you start to find, like, the really, really disturbed people, and I said, forget it, and I threw the laptop into a dumpster at the back of the Safeway back in my hometown, and I left it at that.
There, no nonsense. Was the pedophile's face, did he have it revealed so that everyone could see it, or was it being obscured? Oh my god. Oh, jeez.
Completely revealed, like, and admitted who he was.
Mm-hmm. Name and everything, and here's where I live, and if you want to kill me, because, you know.
No, not name. I'm sure he was using an alias for a name, but you saw his face, he was talking as if he was doing a YouTube makeup vlog, but instead it was about children in very disturbed ways. Sadly, I'm sure he's done something, but he wasn't saying that he did it. He was saying what he wanted to do.
All right, and with this on the dark or deep web, both of them, I guess, you're able to use Bitcoin in order to access certain content. What they do is, I guess, when somebody's doing a show or presentation or, as you say, like selling weed or you name it, there's got to be some more. Everything can't be that extreme, I wouldn't imagine, and out there other than, like.
Do you think Pizzagate is real?
I think it is. I think Pizzagate was definitely real. I think it was a false flag to claim that it was a tiny little pizza shop where the politicians went to meet to discuss things, because at any given point, if a politician goes to discuss anything, there's tons of securities, there's loads of protocol. Why would they be meeting at an indiscriminate pizza shop in the public eye? Makes no sense. It's a false flag. Who would order tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of hot dogs or pizza slices or whatever benign item that you could think of? I think the government has hit the point of any other term of organized crime. You all have to commit some form of criminal offense so that you're all connected together. So you can't rat anyone out, because you're all guilty.
That's the way gangs work. One of the ways.
Yeah, and is government no different? Once you've set up such a high pedestal for yourself and you've given yourself absolute power, corruption comes inevitably. I think it went into a very dark way of going about it, instead of petty drug crimes or fights or something that a cartel or like a downtown gang would do, it went to the extreme.
Yeah, I don't have a problem in believing that. Well, of course Pizzagate was real. It's this business of, as you say, the way that they use political blackmail for grounds or basis for people to move up through the ranks of the political establishment and machine, it's a prerequisite, really, in most cases, is how it would seem. I mean, for crying out loud, Speaker of the House Dennis Hassert openly busted, and there's numerous allegations and rumors, personalities or people, characters such as this Wiener guy, and this is an end of Podesta, of course, and the whole thing, so some pretty sick stuff. So they can fool some of the people some of the time. It's another question whether there's the political will, though, to actually hold the bastards accountable. Or is it more valuable and effective to simply have this as blackmail, just more blackmail and threats that you can use to manipulate and neutralize people so that they're not able to do anything which challenges your agenda or your getting your policies put into place. But let's just keep moving on here. We can maybe revisit this and other talking points in the after show. Hey, I was just going to tell you a quick little interesting story. When I was in Kelowna, doing a little of the busking, street performance, and troubadour kind of thing. I was actually outside the Grand Hotel one night. You know the Grand, don't you?
I do, but now it's the Delta. It's changed again.
Oh, wow. Changed again? Well, what was it? It was the Grand for ages, wasn't it? This is back in, well, the mid to late 90s. You were still probably pretty much in diapers back around that time.
Yeah, I think it started as the Red, then I went to the Grand. Like, the Red was way back, and then I went to the Grand, and now it's Delta.
So I was doing some performance out there one night, and from out of the Grand, the big, I guess, you know, double doors, what have you, swinging open, came this character that was dressed up in a clown outfit with a big, strange, kind of bizarre wig, and I think he might have even had a clown nose on and goofy sunglasses and what have you. Bit of an entourage behind this individual, and it's either even, like, maybe even before this all happened, people started whispering, Woody Harrelson's inside. Yeah, he's, like, sitting inside, man. He's, like, you know, got his friends and this and that and having a bit of a party. And so that's kind of what happened. This guy came out, and he was dressed up, and he had this get-up on, and people were saying, yeah, it's like, oh, it's Woody Harrelson. He came right up to me, actually, because, as I said, I was out there doing my thing, and it's like, Woody Harrelson. It's like, what? Woody Harrelson? I got to stop playing and whatnot, and we were, like, eyeball to eyeball. He took off his glasses, and he raised his glasses up, or maybe lowered them down just a little bit, and stared at me. We were just inches away, and I still couldn't get it. It's like, I can't tell if you're fucking Woody Harrelson or not. It's like, give me a break. So that's not gonna fly. I didn't really quite express myself in that way, I don't think. But, you know, maybe something more or less along those lines. I mean, what do you expect? Bit of a fan of the guy, for sure. So, interestingly, his father was actually one of the suspected assassins of John F. Kennedy. His dad died in prison just a couple of years ago, actually. Been locked up for quite some time on charges of having done that very same thing, assassinated, I guess, if I got my facts straight here, could have been like a Texas federal judge or some kind of, I think it was like a federal judge at using a long distance rifle and taking him out in that fashion. So interesting. But there's other celebrities actually that also, I heard stories about Brad Pitt being around there, and maybe he's got like a little getaway or holiday home, and you know, more or less, just kind of, he's kind of bombing around the city on a bicycle and whatnot. Elton John, I guess, got a big mansion up in Rutland, I think. Is that right? So, I mean, any just other quick little interesting stories you can share with us dealing with Kelowna and some of the better, maybe well-known names, people that make it there from time to time, and just a little bit of the celebrity gossip?
I don't step out too much, but I know that I think he's moved here, or at least he's gotten a house here. I know Morgan Freeman was looking for an area to live in the Kootenays last year. And, you know, if you go downtown during the summertime, you are actually bound to walk into someone fairly important just in the off chance, because it is such a nice place to vacation during the summer. It's not too hot or too cold. You can enjoy the summer breeze. So sailing, paddle boating, whatever you like. So it's actually quite easy to meet celebrities here.
A lot of Chinese and Asian tourists, is what I recall, coming in by the busload.
Yeah, and if you actually look very carefully, you can, I'm not too heavy into Western pop culture, but J-pop and K-pop, I've actually met a few J-pop stars because they were touring with a big group, just trying to blend in and not be noticed and enjoy their time there. And they're super full of life, bouncing around, like very happy people.
Maybe a little bit high or something, too, at the time. You know, that's why a lot of Japanese people I know, youth, young people, they do go to the West so that they can partake and imbibe in the sacred weed. As far as Koreans are concerned, it's really interesting. Don't know if this is the case in China or not, but they have got such a tyrannical, you know, police state, fascistic regime here that if you actually are found to have broken a law in a Western country or just any foreign country, you can be prosecuted for that law. Even though you haven't been charged or, you know, prosecuted in the West, you can return home and be charged under Korean law for that same statute, I guess, as it were. So I think that's primarily directed, and you find that from time to time. It's really the focus are the drug laws. People, you know, smoking weed. It's simple as that. That's just how extreme things are here with their you know, like I said, it's very, very fascistic and totalitarian.
I wouldn't be surprised if the K-pop or the J-pop stars got into drinking or smoking or anything of the like over here, because I know that there are contracts for the girls where they can't be seen with other men, and they can't be seen smoking or drinking because it would ruin their image to their young male fans.
They're not going to do it openly, of course, no. I mean, who does that kind of thing openly, right? I mean, it's all run by the mob, too. You know, it's not just in Japan or Korea. I call it actually K-poop or gay pop. So clearly not a fan. I mean, it's something that teenagers, I guess, maybe it's all different places around the world too, not just in Korea. But yeah, it's a major export. It's part of what they pride themselves on here, but I mean, you look at it, and sorry if I'm coming across as too cynical. Maybe that's just what I am, a cynical, jaded old man. But, well, it's a carbon copy kind of ripoff of Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys. And I mean, they're great dancers and they look pretty, if you want my honest opinion, and this is kind of it. But there's a little too much lip syncing that goes on there is one of the issues for sure. And then, of course, as a musician, I ask myself, well, did you write any of these songs? Are you performing? Are you playing the piano here or guitar, or, you know, what's going on? So, yeah, great dancers and they look pretty. Somewhat convincing with the lip syncing, not all that great all the time, but what can you do? I understand why young people go for it. It's trendy. It's seen as cool or hip or what have you. You're probably also, I'm going to take a shot in the dark here and say you're a big anime fan as well.
I'm as I would be called, a deplorable fucking weeb.
What's a weeb?
Weeboo is a Western anime fan. It's kind of like the term otaku, where it's derogatory, but it's for Western people that like Japanese culture, anime, or anything of the sort a lot. Like, I prefer watching anime over Western cartoons. I have a few Dakigamoras, which are the body pillow.
A weeb and a taku and a what? A body pillow, did you say? Or what? One more time?
Dakigamora. They're body pillows, but there's art on it of anime girls in either fully clothed, half nude, or full nude.
Oh, well, how about that?
You buy one of those and you've basically sealed your fate as a weeb for life.
Oh, geez. Reminded here now of the onesies crowd. Well, maybe you know more about it than I do. It's a little bit of cosplay involved there, I guess. But basically you're wearing these like full body length pajamas is kind of what it seems, with maybe like a set of rabbit ears on the top or something like that, and puffy bunny tail. You heard of the onesies?
I feel like I need to go upstairs and grab my Pikachu onesie.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Well, we got you figured out now, don't we? So, hey, we just got a few more minutes here, but before we close things down, we didn't even hit on this whole thing of Islamophobia and the way that Trudeau is now, I guess, trying to, along with people within his party, push for this. I don't even know where to start with this whole thing. Bill M103, Islamophobia, and the key word, operative word that they use in the phrasing, very real, try to be real sneaky and cute, I guess, is the irrational fear. That being the operative word. Because, you know, my question is, well, how about rational or, you know, reasonably justified concern or criticism, saying, wait a minute, this is a problem. You got this, 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 and this. And that's a problem. That's going to lead to people being locked up for having, it's the same as this nonsensical term, anti-Semitism, utterly meaningless. If you just break it down, deconstruct it, it's just totally, it's like, you know, look, if you're going to say anti-Jew or something, then we'll say it, but don't say anti-Semitism or anti-Semitic. It's not even applicable. It's offensive, and it completely distorts the reality of things. So, but yeah, just if you could just break things down for us, what's the latest with this ridiculous Islamophobia bill?
Before I completely rip into this, can I just jump back real quick to your comment on the onesies? Are you talking like the full pajama onesies, or are you talking about furries?
I'm not too clear on the difference.
For example, I have a Pikachu onesie, which is really like a typical pajama onesie that you slip into, zip it up, it keeps you warm and fuzzy with the fleecy fabric, and it's got like ears or a tail or something cute on it or some kind of design. But furries, which I am not whatsoever, is people who put on these full body polyester faux fur costumes where they look like a dog or some mystical creature and they do whatever they do in those costumes.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that I am not one of those.
They're covering their faces and everything, right?
Yeah, I just want to clarify, I'm not one of those. I have a regular pajama onesie with like ears and a tail attached from an iconic cartoon character.
People
just to clarify that.
People have sex in these outfits and everything, don't they?
Yeah, that's
a bit of a kink or a fetish at play there, you know, obviously.
It's called furries, but after I said what I said, I took a moment and my partner sent me a message and he's like, babe, he's talking about furry.
Hey, baby, do you want a furry fuck tonight? Let's get the costume on. All right, yeah. So, okay, yeah, this bullshit Islamophobia, air quotes now, law, I mean, come on, people. What utter insanity. It's just wrong and on so many levels. Give me a break. But yeah, I want to just hear your feedback because I know you've got some opinions and some thoughts. You even attended a local mosque at one point. A year or two ago, and you had a bit of an experience there. Maybe that's a good place to start from.
Okay, so I was taking the bus from my house up to the school, high school, and I was sitting at the back in this. Originally, I thought that they were Hindu because I was kind of oblivious to religion. I thought everyone was peaceful, you know, keep to yourself, I'll keep to myself. And they're talking about how wonderful it would be for me to come to the mosque on Sunday. There's food, there's meeting people, you know, just socializing and really welcoming. And I'm 17 and oblivious, so I thought, sure, it'd be nice. They clarify that they're Muslims. I didn't realize at the time what that entailed either. I thought, you know, maybe similar, maybe not. Maybe there's differences, maybe close to Christianity or whatever it could be. Because I didn't pay too much to religion. Like I said, keep to yourself, I'll keep to mine. But I went to the mosque on Sunday. And at first it was super welcoming. The food was really good. Everyone was super talkative. But then they kept pushing me to talk to these boys around my age or even older, to a fair bit older than me, trying to get me interested or pair me off almost, set up for an arranged marriage.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And how long did this take before they started to try to get you impregnated?
It took about, I'd probably say about half an hour before they started kicking it up.
Half an hour?
Yeah, they cut to the chase really fast.
Oh, jeez.
It was like walking in, being welcomed in. Like the first 50 minutes was like being walked into an Italian family. I grew up in Charlotte, a highly Italian population. You walk in, you're instantly a member of the family. And that, so to me, it was super welcoming. Like food, they wanted you to meet family members, sons, daughters, cousins, everything. It felt natural to me because that's how it worked in Trail. Any household you walked into, you meet every family member and you get down to eat. But then they started to try and match me off. And I think about 20 minutes passed after that and they realized that I really wasn't into it. I was trying to leave. And the men backed off and the women came and they started attacking me, saying that I looked naked, I should be ashamed of how I looked, how I behave, how dare I come in here dressed like this, how dare I act like this.
So they were really friendly and welcoming for about half an hour, and it was your full-blown Islamophobia, of course, that drew you to the mosque in the first place. That's obvious. But then after they started coming on real, their tune suddenly shifted and changed once you sort of showed you were just a little, maybe the word reticent, or not so keen or interested in kind of just sort of playing along and responding to their wishes that you match up with one of their boys. I guess they felt insulted, and then you suddenly find yourself getting attacked.
Majority of it was verbal. I was getting shoved a bit. My clothes were, like, they
pulled
my shoulder and asked, like,
oh, wow.
Why am I dressing like a whore? Kafir is like, you shouldn't exist, which is an infidel, or basically anyone that isn't a part of Islam or left Islam. And I'm like, all right, this is it. Fuck it. I'm out. I split second turned and I ran. I didn't even just walk out and talk to me. I just turned around and I ran out and I didn't look back. I just kept running, shoving past people, trying to find a bus stop or something.
So you were being physically assaulted, too, is what it sounds like. Grabbed and pushed.
Well, it's very, very aggressive. It probably could have broke out into possibly something violent if I stayed any longer, and I wasn't quite interested in that.
No, of course not. Were you left bruised?
No, thankfully not. I wasn't like fully punched or anything. I don't bruise that easily. So them pinching or pulling at me didn't really leave anything.
So what are your thoughts then on this whole? I mean, you've heard a little bit about it, and you've presumably looked into it. Some extent. Where do things stand right now with Bill, I think it's M-103? Has there been a vote in the House of Commons? Or what's the latest from Ottawa?
The motion passed in late February. It's not an official bill to be passed on March 21st. If it passes, now how the text for the bill works is basically da-da-da-da-da, discrimination against Islamophobia and other religions. Da-da-da-da-da. Something bad about Islamophobia and then other religions. They're blatantly saying what it's really about, but they toss in other religions so you can't really refute it without being claimed a bigot or prejudiced or xenophobic or whatever buzzword they throw your way. I personally, as much as I hate it, I think it's going to pass. I think the bill will pass. And with how small my channel is on YouTube, I don't think I'll be affected by it for now. But if to gain tread with the topics that I touch, I'm sure I would either get a cease and desist order or possibly charges. Because any criticism, and it's not hate speech, it's criticism.
You're saying that it actually says that in the way the bill is worded, that criticism? It flat out says criticism will not be tolerated?
You can't criticize Islam or other religions.
What?
Promote Islamophobia or anything of the like against other religions. You can't promote hate speech.
Well, how about promoting the facts and the truth and the reality of things and launching a rational and balanced, sane and just criticism? Come on.
Canada's turning into Germany, where Germany has hate speech crimes. People have been reporting in Germany of cops showing up to the house because they criticize Islam or criticize Merkel. Not saying anything horrendous like kill all Muslims or hurt Merkel or anything of that sort. Just saying, you know, I don't want a Muslim majority in our country. We're Germans. It should be a German country with minorities and, you know, have a mosaic peace, but, you know, still keep it German. And I don't think that's a bad thing to say. If you're France, you should have French people and, you know, have other migrants come in, but they should assimilate to French culture.
Not going to happen with Islam. No way. No, not going to happen. I've seen it time and time again. Muslims saying just, you know, very straight up and directly that, you know, Sharia comes first. If national laws do not conform to the ways of Sharia and the Quran, then just forget it. It's just not going to happen, period. I mean, it's not too hard to understand. It's not too complicated. So for me, it's a question. This is like high-level treason, you know, in Canada, America, all these countries in Europe. I mean, you have the 1% elite that under this so-called clergy plan, which you might be interested in looking into. I'm not sure if you know too much about that. I'm not an expert on the matter, but I'm not even sure if Pirate Larry has anything to say about this whole business or not. Larry tends to be somewhat, he's not, I don't know, he doesn't seem overly critical of Islam or its the way that's gaining, numbers are growing in the West and so forth. There was a recent election in the Netherlands. I'm not sure if you followed that or not, Valkyrie, but apparently that created some waves here just in the last day or so. Are you up to speed on that? What occurred in the Netherlands just the other day?
Just the other day? No, I'm not up to date with it. What happened?
I'm just actually asking you. I think there was a couple.
I believe that what happened is the right-wing guy lost, you know, by a slim minority. But I believe the right-wing guy, the alt-right guy lost in the Netherlands.
Oh, the voting booths, yeah.
Voting booths? What are you talking about? Is there? You're not talking electronic voting booths, are you?
You know, I'm sure they rig elections everywhere, Chappie. Power is not given up so easily.
Oh, I understand. It's like Stalin said. It's not who casts the votes that matters so much as it is the people who count them.
Yeah, but there are different factions of Islam. just like there are different factions of Christianity. I mean, there are Christians that will beat the devil out of their children, you know. I don't think that's all that Christian. And there are different factions of Islam. If you go into a Hare Krishna place and they feed you good food and they got good vibes, you know, try to get out of there without buying a book, you know, I mean, or something. You know, they put the mortal hurt on you. Or Scientology, you know, you go in to buy a book of Dianetics and by the end of it, they're sucking your blood for thousands of dollars. Religion, look, the first person who said, I know God and you don't, right? So give me some money. That guy, you know, created prostitution. That was the first pirate of God. From there, you know, sprung all this idiocy. They tell you God is everybody, you know, I mean, they tell you God is everywhere, but he's not in anybody. He's like way up there and you can't reach him. And they tell you that God gives you free will. So that's great. You know, God gives you free will, but nobody else does. You know, everybody else wants to control everybody. So if you look at Islam, it means surrender. That's what the word means.
Oh, there's surrender, all right.
It doesn't mean surrender to an imam. It doesn't mean surrender to a dictator. What it means, ultimately, is surrender to time. Because everyone, ultimately, has to surrender to time.
And that's how everyone interprets it, Larry? Or is that just your interpretation?
That's how Islam becomes, you know, revealed as something that can integrate and not disintegrate. And there are many Islamic thinkers, and there are many, you know, good Muslims in Egyptian jails that I know, and many good Muslims who were, you know, tortured to death by Assad, who I know, that, you know, believe in freedom.
Uh-huh.
They believe, you know, now,
yeah,
they don't eat pork, they don't drink, you know. They keep to a certain cultural tradition.
Uh-huh. That's, yeah. And they should keep it there in Egypt, too. They should keep building and working and fighting for it there in Egypt. And it should not be allowed. There's just very little place in the West for Islam. Totally incompatible, incongruent.
What you're mad at. Umar Abedin and the Muslim Brotherhood connection.
The Wahhabists, they're all clearly a problem. ISIS.
They were used by Britain, you know, back in World War
I. Yeah. I mean, a lot of Muslims don't like the Wahhabists either.
That's true.
One of the points, though, that I've got to say, and a lot of people do agree, not everyone, of course, but that Islam should stay in the Middle East. That's where its origins, its roots are. The whole point behind Islam, surrender, as you say, or peace, is only when it has completely conquered the entire world will there be peace. And when everyone has surrendered to Islam, there will be peace. Until that time, they will continue to wage the holy war in converting
infidels. Surrender. That's the word. When everybody surrenders to surrender.
But you know what, Larry? It's also, it's nobody's business. Yeah, good.
A Muslim is like one who surrenders. Surrender to what? That is the question you have to ask Islam.
Yeah.
Surrender to your imam. Surrender to your crazy, you know, mullahs who want to kill everybody. Who, you know, have a little terrorist go out and you know, blow up children with bombs. No. Who's going to surrender to that? Surrender to what? That's the question for Islam. And I wouldn't be afraid of Islam. I would just ask them that question. That is the meaning of the word.
Well, they're not all that reasonable, though. That's a problem. They're not all rational. And
well,
as you say...
Neither are Hare Krishnas or, you know...
they're not violent.
What justifies violence?
Ask radical Islam.
There's nothing that justifies violence.
Well, there's too many radical Muslims that seem to think otherwise, unfortunately. And the view that a lot of people have is that's a problem, and that bringing that into the West, importing that into the West, is causing a lot of discord and chaos, although there are some people that clearly do profit from that. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is all through, you know, North America and Europe. Sowing the seeds of chaos.
You're talking about George Soros
Yeah, sure.
Abedin, the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, invading Europe and degrading Europe.
Who's behind ISIS, too? Let's not forget that. I mean, I think the mask has clearly been taken off ISIS.
CIA.
Saudi royals. Yeah, sure. These are open secrets. You know. Yeah, I think Mossad. Go ahead, Valkyrie.
I was curious, though, for one of the pieces in the Quran, though, that talks about Judgment Day. And the only way Judgment Day would be achieved from the words of Muhammad would be for the Muslims to kill all the Jews, hunt them down, etc., to the point where a Jewish person would be sitting behind a tree to hide and point behind them and say, there's a Jew behind me, come and get them.
That's great that you should mention that. Do you know that apparently there's two, Bill Warner's the guy to check out. He's the best guy that I've found so far. He's the easiest to understand. The way he breaks things down is fabulous. I suggest and recommend everybody check out Dr. Bill Warner on YouTube. He draws a distinction between two traditions, that of Mecca and that of Medina. And he basically says that Mecca, the tradition and Islam up to that point, was largely more emphasis on spiritual things. It was a lot more peaceful, I guess. And then when it shifted over to Medina, things became very much inflamed and politicized, and out came the swords. And there's, you know, a lot of things that were suddenly justified, violence, namely, in order to, you know, wage jihad and holy war on the unbelievers and, you know, just you name it, anyone else that didn't quite see things the way that it was thought that you were supposed to in accordance with the Quran. And, you know, you can twist anything to suit your needs, whoever you are, in any way, especially when it comes to these biblical texts or supposedly.
Jihad is an internal battle.
That's one interpretation, isn't it?
A battle between two wolves.
Not everyone sees it that way, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, they don't. But that is, you know, what it really means. It's an internal battle.
That works for me. I'm totally on board with that. But, you know, not the other, of course, where it's more vicious. And really, it's our political leaders to blame and to be held accountable. They're the ones that have sown all this chaos in the Middle East, stemming all the way back to September 11th. Listeners, regular listeners, have heard it here probably a few times by now with PNAC and the neocons. It's what we see now. I'm wondering what's going on with Trump meeting with the Saudi prince just the other day, all smiles for the cameras and so forth. So you really wonder. He campaigned on the grounds, or at least one of the positions that he took, was that ISIS was going to be taken out and eliminated. I don't personally think it would be that difficult or complicated, given the abilities of the U.S. military and its allies. We saw what Putin did when he was allowed free rein and kind of went in there and started kicking some major ISIS ass. Apparently, the day after the election, along with having the TPP canceled, one of the things that Trump did was he ordered his, whatever the case may have been, Mad Dog, whatever, it was the general, it was General Mad Dog, what's his face, I think, it was his last name, Larry, it starts with another
Mattis.
M. Mad Dog Mattis. Yeah, they launched 30 plus, we call them sorties or attacks into, I'm not sure what part of...
Yemen.
Oh, it was in Yemen. Wow. See, that's another on ISIS, supposedly. Although, once again, you look at the PNAC papers,
I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis get Yemen.
Oh, they're happy with that then, were they? The Saudis like that.
I bet they're real happy with that. Yemen is not happy.
No. And this is all...
If the Saudis, you know, can get Yemen, you know, then they feel, you know, they've controlled all their borders.
This is all part of the Greater Israel Project, too, is it not? I mean, Valkyrie, have you heard about this at all, the Greater Israel Project?
I have not, no.
Oh, you have now, I guess, so there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah, but Larry, I'm not sure if you have any final thoughts here. We kind of got a little heated there, which is, you know, it's good to a reasonable extent. Creates a little bit of lively...
I understand, you know. I mean, people are getting raped. I mean, people are getting... You know, Muslim Sharia law down their throats. I understand. You know, but that is not the way. There are enough Muslims who, you know, cringe at that kind of shit. Just like we cringe at the Ku Klux Klan and burning crosses and shit. In a way, I can understand their position. I can understand that they feel the white man is threatened and, you know, but if you feel the white man is threatened, you know, then find a white girl and make more white people and teach them how to survive and teach them how to be kind and good Christians, not burning other people out. There's, you know, a divinity in everyone. And lack of respect for that is what creates war. It's what creates, you know, chaos and division. And when that respect, you know, returns to people, when they see, oh yes, we all come from the same beginning, and we all go to, you know, wherever, I don't know.
Taqiyya, I think, is the term, the Islamic term that's has to do with the deception and lying in Islam, the way that it's justified and rationalized.
You have to remember the Arab world created zero. Before, we're using Arabic numbers. They created zero. And from zero, we get zero, you know, minus 0.01. They created zero. There's a lot in Islam. There's a lot in Islam that's being oppressed, like the Sufi in Saudi Arabia or the Sufis in Iran. These people dance because life is a dance.
A lot of Muslims don't like them as well. You're right. Exactly. They're kind of persecuted because of their traditions. You're right. Yeah.
They're poets. You know, they're...
Rumi. Rumi.
Rumi.
Sure.
Sufi.
Yeah.
Everybody quotes Rumi on the internet.
Sure.
You know, and these people are being oppressed in Iran and Saudi Arabia.
Well, it'd be great to do more shows. Yeah, Baha'i. The UN is totally behind the Baha'i, I guess. That's one of the people you hear about from time to time talk of a universal one world religion. That's apparently the one that the UN's kind of got there in its bag of tricks, supposedly, wanting to promote.
They're totally oppressed. If you oppress an idea, that idea must be very scary to you.
Or the idea is pretty fucked up and warped. Like pedophilia? I mean, like, hello, or, you know, rape or murder. Murder phobia. Pedophilia phobia. You know, that sort of thing. So, rape phobia.
You know, you can extrapolate it to its absurdity. And I think Islamophobia is funded by our banker friend. And it has been funded by our banker friend for a long time. And I think we all got to step back from the precipice of World War III or some culture war, some damn thing, and start to talk to each other and go, you know, are you really, you know, that crazed? And I think most of the time you'll find people doing good work, trying to do something good in the community, trying to help families. You know, that's mostly what you'll find. Propaganda. You know, whether it's Marxism or neocon or neoliberal or Islamic or Catholic propaganda, you know, you'll find it everywhere. I mean, there's stations of propaganda. Apparently, RTV, you know, was backing Trump. I don't know.
Oh, RT News? Russian TV?
Yeah, Russian TV, you know, and that's the butthurt. You know, that's how the Russians stole the election. But the way I look at it is the Republicans had a file on Hillary that went miles, miles long. Everybody told them, pick anybody but Hillary. You know, pick Bernie.
Yeah.
They didn't listen, and so now they are the fake news because they proved themselves to be fake news. And I think, you know, people having rational conversations on the internet becomes real. More real to people than the fake propaganda. And with that, I will sign off for a while.
Yeah, it's a big threat, isn't it, when you have these alternative voices that are able to be heard and get their thoughts out there and even just, you know, asking others, soliciting others what they think on the matter, getting some sort of feedback. So, Valkyrie, any just last sort of ideas or comments, things you like to get out there? I'm going to troll the comment section here on YouTube. We've had a lot of good stuff and discussion going on here over the course of our conversation. So why don't we wrap things up, though? You can maybe just share a few of your website, domain names. I know you're over on minds.com, and you've got a couple of YouTube channels. Anything more you'd like to add to that?
I also have a DeviantArt page. The tag is Raspberry Jellos 1. I also have a LinkedIn, but I never really use that thing. Probably the biggest thing that I'm usually on is Twitch, which is also Raspberry Jellos 1 before I switched my name over to Valkyrie. I might have been intoxicated when I picked my username.
Raspberry Jello.
Yes. I was taking raspberry
Oh, my God. Joe Eminon here. Once again, just a great conversation in the YouTube streaming chat area. Joe Eminon saying, yeah, God is all powerful and he needs your money. Sounds a lot like George Carlin, as I recall. My God has a bigger dick than your God. More Carlin. Somebody's hyped up. I'm not sure who who you're referring to there, Valkyrie, but whether it was me or Joe or maybe your boyfriend, I'm not too clear, but that's fine. Monotheism is the basis of all war. Everyone is attempting to prove that their God has the biggest cock. It's been going on for 12,000 years. And then Hydrodank, of course, stating that one could make a strong argument that religion... One could make a strong argument that religion was a tool for the weak to control the strong. Fear of God made survival of the fittest gone. The strongest man could no longer just take what he needed for fear of damnation. Joe Eminon seems to concur, stating that absolutely, man created God in his own image. All right, Valkyrie, thanks a lot. It's been a great time and it was a real pleasure chatting with you. We managed, thankfully, to finally get things back on track after having those technical issues resolved. Be sure to add your URL links to the web show notes. Listeners, of course, can check us out on various social media platforms, including Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and let's not forget Minds.com, probably most important of all. WPRPN is WPRPN.com is our domain name. Folks can drop by there if they're interested in taking a look at what we've got cooking in that part of the internet. Casey Lartigue Jr. coming up here next week. We're going to be talking mostly about DPRK, that's North Korean refugees coming to the South, trying to make a new start and a new home for themselves. We haven't really covered too much content or story ideas regarding South Korea the last little while, but we'll try to get the ball rolling on that front with Casey dropping by. It'd be great if we could actually address the issue of prisoners of war as well, including and of course the legal status of weed in the North. I wonder if Casey would be clear on that or not. We'll have to wait and find out. Author William Ramsey will be returning for another visit here in the next few weeks as well. We've got him slotted in just a little further on down the road. UFO expert Grant Cameron. He's a bit of a big name, that guy, actually, for any people that are UFO aficionados, or aficionados, I think is the word. Let's get it straight. So fans of UFOlogy. Veteran Hollywood celebrity muckraker Mark Ebner. Really looking forward to that show. He's going to be coming by and talking to us a little bit about the mysterious circumstances surrounding the death of actor David Carradine, probably best known for his role in the early 1970s Kung Fu series, as well as maybe we'll get into a few other topics, including Scientology and maybe even how he was blackballed in Hollywood and on the part of other magazines and so forth that felt because he was had the inside scoop on what Cosby had been up to for so many years that they didn't want to talk to him. History, interestingly, is proving Mr. Ebner right and that he was correct in doing the work he did and coming up with a lot of the evidence that he managed to stumble across. So a lot more, once again, crew positions waiting to be filled here with respect to web design and creative ideas, web development, marketing, sales, you name it. So network, once again, driven on a very much voluntary basis. So outside of that, people can pretty much choose to do as little or as much as they like. It's entirely up to them when becoming engaged in the part of the WPRPN network. That, of course, stands for World Pirate Radio Podcast Network. Might want to drop by our FAQ page as well, too, folks. FAQs are always great if people are kind of still scratching their heads, wondering what things are really all about. They can check things out over there and get more of a lowdown on the details. You can also email us at pirateoneradio@gmail.com. Any questions, maybe some show guests or show ideas that you have in mind. We're always open to your suggestions. Don't forget to check out our Patreon account as well. We've actually got our first patron, Kelly Freeman. Way to go, Kelly. $5 an episode. I hope this is proven to be worth your while and investment. Show went on for close to 2 hours, so hopefully not such a bad deal, maybe after all. We've also got the after show area, the Rogues Gallery end of things, which we'll be talking about here a little just after we wrap up on Skype. Head back on there and maybe do a little more behind the scenes sort of discussion, conversation, and addressing any range of interesting and intriguing or otherwise captivating issues. So, in the meantime, that's about it for this week's production, episode 53 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. As always, I am the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, tally-ho.
As we lay musing on our bed, so well and warm at ease, we thought upon those lodging beds, for sailors have at sea. Oh, last Easter day in the morning fair, we was not far from land, we spied a mermaid sitting on a rock, with a comb and a glass in a hand, with a comb and a glass in a hand. And first come the boatswain of our ship, with courage stout and bold, stand fast, brave, lively lads, stand fast, brave hearts of gold, for our gallant ship, she's gone to wreck. She was so lately trimmed, the raging seas have sprung her good, and the salt seas all run in, and the salt seas all run in. Up then spoke our cabin boy, our well-spoke boy was he, I'm sorry for my mother dear, I'm lost in the salt, salt sea. For last night, the moon shone bright, and you know that she had some spite, tonight she may look in the salt, salt waves, and find but one alive, alive, and find but one alive. For boats, you fair Plymouth girls, don't you hear how the trumpets sound? For the want of a boat, our good ship is lost, and the most of our young men drowned, oh drowned, and the most of our young men drowned.